Hello and welcome to the Fantasy Basketball Podcast on CBSSports.com. I'm Adam Flango, joined by Joe Polito.
Hurry up. Chris has got to get out of here.
Chris, you got some chicken to make.
To do. I got chickens to bake.
Kind of, how are you making this chicken?
Just baked.
Just baked chicken?
Just throw it in the oven, walk away.
Are you going to tie the wings and things up?
You know. And the whole bird there, huh?
Yeah, the whole thing.
Ah, it's good
just
stuff.
Toss it in the oven.
What are you going to, put some veggies with it, maybe?
Potatoes.
Oh, potatoes, okay.
Potatoes are totally vegetables.
Yeah, sure.
They grow on the ground.
That's it.
Maybe some carrots, I don't know.
Ah, there you go. Some celery. Make it like a, sorry.
Just have an orange soda.
An orange. Put orange in the chicken. Citrus chicken, orange chicken.
I mean, yeah, you do it with like a lemon.
Sure.
Orange. Oh, yeah. It's a little too sweet.
Come on. Anyway.
Welcome to the CBS Fantasy Food Podcast.
Basketball news is slow, so today.
What do you guys mean?
Today we're going to bake a chicken.
Oh, fantastic.
Hey.
The delicious dish?
It's not that slow. Hilton Armstrong and Melvin Ealy just got waived. So, basketball news.
Unfortunate.
Happening.
Hot and heavy.
Hot takes.
Technically, there is basketball news.
That's true. Technically, there are some things happening. Team USA is practicing for the World Cup, which is neat.
Yeah. I was trying to watch it before the rain knocked out our satellite here.
Yeah, no. The feed yesterday was infuriating because it was like, oh, cool, and they show scrimmage until like the coolest part of the play was about to happen, and then they'd show a close-up of Coach K with his shirt tucked in or something like that. You know, I kind of want to just watch part of the game for more than 30 seconds. That's my gripe. That's all.
Coach K will never untuck his shirt.
No, I don't think so. He just goes to sleep with a tucked-in shirt.
So we're going to run through some the little news tidbits, things that are still lingering, things that are out there. And then we're going to go through some of the guys that we have no idea what to make of them. They are perplexing options. They're guys that we've kind of forgotten about.
The WTF All-Stars.
The WTF All-Stars, indeed. We didn't talk about them much during the season.
Yeah, but they'll probably get drafted, so we got to address them.
Right. So we need to think. Whenever it comes to the later rounds in the draft and you see this guy and you're like, what should I expect from him? Well, maybe we'll solve a little bit of that.
Maybe.
Try to provide some insight. Just kidding. We're going to provide all the insight. You will know everything after listening to this. And we've got one or two emails here to answer.
Yeah.
So let's get to it, gentlemen. Derrick Rose has been playing some basketball.
Yeah.
He's been providing us with snippets of
athleticism
and
explosiveness.
The Instagrams and
the vines. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. So it's been actually a good month overall for basketball vines.
Yeah.
With Zach LaVine. Oh, actually, LaVine.
LaVine, yeah. There you go.
Oh, there it is. Missed that one.
I completely missed it.
Some good hashtag branding opportunities.
Restart. So Derrick Rose, though, has shown that at least he is capable enough to be playing probably for the U.S. team this World Cup. Hey, how encouraging is this to you guys?
I think it might be encouraging if he does actually play, which I don't know if he necessarily will or not. I think he's trying to make the team. Seems like you would want Derrick Rose on the team. But I think if he can kind of work out the kinks and knock off some of the rust now, it might help because we saw how shaky he was at the beginning of last season. I don't know.
Yeah, but that's hope. You know, that's only if the United States wins the whole tournament, that's 8 games. And he's not going to play more than 15 minutes a game. We saw him play, 5 or 6 preseason games last year, and he looked pretty good.
Oh, he dominated the preseason.
So it's not necessarily indicative of anything about whether, you know, he was going to be fine, I think, before tearing the meniscus in his knee. I think he would have figured it out after a couple more weeks. So it's not necessarily whether he can play right now. It's just whether he can stay healthy.
So is it more? So you're looking more at this from just the standpoint of, hey, this we just want to see that this guy can actually stay on a basketball court, and you think the production is going to be there in some capacity, maybe not what it was, but
yeah, I'm honestly not sure if I want to see him play for Team USA. I just think at this point the injury risk is too great.
Well, he's going to have to play eventually.
Yeah,
what's the difference?
My thing.
I would rather him not play in games that don't necessarily mean anything.
I don't like the risk worry because every time he steps on a basketball court, I guess there's a risk. But
there's going to be a risk with Derrick Rose associated for the next year.
Yeah.
That's true.
So I would rather him just get all the turnovers out of the way now, you know.
I just don't think
anymore.
Yeah. I just don't think this is necessarily going to tell us anything.
No. I think the one thing that you can hope for is that the Bulls are a completely different team since the last time they relied on Derrick Rose. And so, like, the Bulls, when Rose was their best player, was let's be really annoying on defense and let's hope that Derrick Rose can do enough crazy athletic moves to have more points than the other team. But now they have tons of offensive options. So maybe he'll won't feel so much of a burden to, I don't know, do crazy stuff in the lane, which is kind of sad from a viewer standpoint, but, you know, it should be better for him.
Yeah, I just don't know necessarily what if anything, this can teach us. It'll be nice if he can show up at USA, at Team USA in Spain, and not get hurt, really. That's the first thing. I think that's the that really should be the only thing we're looking at.
I think that's it. I don't think we need to see much more than that. If we see Derrick Rose play some basketball, not get hurt,
like if he dominates this tournament, if he averages 15 points in 15 minutes per game, is that really going to tell us anything about what he's going to do in the NBA? Because we've already seen this last season when he was good in the preseason, and then he came out against teams that were actually trying and teams that were playing defense and teams that were, you know, looking to bump him around a little. I don't think that's going to happen in Spain.
I think it could give you a small glimpse of what he can do on a deeper team because the team's obviously going to be super talented. And his Bulls team won't be that talented, but it just seems like he's in for a much different role no matter what this year.
All right, let's talk about some two guys that are still lingering. After all the free agency news, all the signings, these two restricted free agents are still lingering out there. Eric Bledsoe and Greg Monroe.
Restricted free agency kind of makes players hate their teams, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It doesn't, I think
that's just a really awkward situation.
That seems to be like, because both of these guys, Eric Bledsoe has been very vocal about how angry he is about the whole process. And Greg Monroe, keeping it to himself a little more.
We haven't heard a whole lot from Greg
Monroe. We
haven't
heard anything about anything with Greg Monroe.
Greg Monroe, I don't even know if you realize he's a restricted free agent right now.
Nope.
How are we approaching these guys? Or you guys think that they're coming back with their team?
Presumably, they will sign a contract before training camp.
Yeah.
That is really the only thing we know.
I think they've both talked about maybe shorter-term deals so that they can once again prove their worth, maybe shoot for a max contract in unrestricted free agency, something like that. But that seems like to be the best case for both parties at this point. It's weird how parallel their situations are, right? Like,
yeah.
Eric Bledsoe's looking at a crowded backcourt. And I guess the Suns are more up and coming than the Pistons, but Greg Monroe also crowded front court. They're kind of in the same, like, just about to break out type players, like, not quite there yet. I don't know. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, restricted free agency seems to – it either shrinks the market for a player or makes it go crazy. It either gives you Chandler Parsons and Gordon Hayward getting max deals or this kind of silliness. And it's – I don't know. It seems like they're just going to go back because nobody else wants them.
Why don't they just trade places? It seems like it solves everything.
Hey, I like that idea.
I was just daydreaming last night while I was doing the – Not last night.
Dreaming.
Yeah. Night. No, that's
just dreaming.
It was during the day. The sun was out.
Okay.
When I was doing the Pistons projections, I was going through the team and looking at the minutes and the shot allocation. And man, Greg Monroe would be awesome on the Suns.
Yeah.
Like that would just be, he might be a first round fantasy pick if he was on the Suns.
True. Like,
legitimately, he could average 20 points, 10 rebounds, and 4 assists per game on that team.
And the Pistons could really use, you know, like not a big man, which Eric Bledsoe is. So I think it's perfect. You should get that deal done.
I just don't understand what team, like why wouldn't somebody else just throw it out there and have them sign?
Nobody has the money anymore.
I get, yeah.
The only teams that have money are like
Sixers. Come on, Sixers.
In Atlanta. No.
Let's do it.
Eric Bledsoe and the Sixers would be awesome. Would be so sweet.
So either of one of them would be very fun.
Basketball player on the Sixers would be so sweet.
Insert basketball player X on the Sixers. Yeah. Let's move to the biggest news probably had in months. Michael Beasley worked out for the Lakers. He's working out, guys.
I'm going to be so sad if he leaves.
Go ahead, Joe.
Like, I mean, he was like my favorite player last year for no reason. And I know he's a clown and that like no veteran players like him. And apparently coaches feel like they can't coach him.
Which would fit in perfectly with the Lakers.
I know, but it would be so far away. I wouldn't get to watch him
every
night.
This Lakers team that seems to have been designed in a laboratory to make Kobe Bryant angry.
Yeah.
Love it.
Who do you think would be his best friend in the Lakers?
Swaggy P. Yeah, no question. There's only one.
Yeah, I didn't know.
I mean, maybe Robert Sacre. They'd spend a lot of time together on the bench.
I'd like to think he and Carlos Boozer would get along.
You think?
I don't know.
Beasley doesn't. Does he like loud, like people being loud around him? I feel like that would harsh his.
That he really minds anything.
And what? Hey, chill, man.
Come on.
Don't need to yell. I don't know. Beasley was pretty vocal on the Heat bench last year because he really wanted to get into the games, which he didn't quite get into enough. But if you look at his numbers, I mean, he was pretty damn good. Like, yeah,
playing with LeBron does that.
No, he was usually on the floor without LeBron. Like, he was the, okay, we're winning by enough and LeBron's coming out. You can have 10 shots. Here you go.
Michael Beasley's, it's, we're, yeah, well, there's nothing
there. No, there's nothing there at all. We're
especially just, not on a Lakers team that looks like this.
I'm not giving up.
Especially if Michael Beasley's playing the four, play some four on the Lakers because that's what they need.
I mean, I guess for fantasy purposes, I'd rather him get minutes than Wesley Johnson for the Lakers.
Yeah. Okay, this is where we move on to the next segment. Okay, guys, so what the heck do we do with these guys?
What the bleep?
What the
hey,
do we do with these guys?
The bells are still in here.
So here's a bunch of guys we don't know what to do with.
Right.
We're going to bring them up.
Handpicked by me.
It's true. Handpicked by Joe Polito.
Mm-hmm.
First one, Eric Gordon.
Not the star of Space Jam.
Yeah. No, not.
Turns out this Eric Gordon did not play Michael Jordan's son in Space Jam.
Breaking news.
I said it like it was a fact before the podcast when we looked it up, and it was a different
team.
Eric Gordon. Different one.
But so. This Eric Gordon had an average draft position of about 98 with 23.7 fantasy points per game.
Yeah. Super inconsistent. Like towards the end of the year, this was his fantasy points per game each week. 18, 20, 24, 34, 10. So
that's not really inconsistent. That's just bad, and then he had, like, two good games.
No, I mean, there was random weeks where he would go off. I mean, it was just kind of dependent on who was in the lineup, I think. Same with Tyreek Evans.
Oh, Tyreek Evans was great.
Yeah.
He was great for a long time.
Gordon is, like, the score.
I think Tyreek Evans might have ended up in the top 30 or 40 in total fantasy points last season.
But it was based on, like, those, like, 3 weeks.
Well, no, it was a solid 2 months. It was after the Jrue Holiday injury. He was averaging, like, you know, post-All-Star break, maybe the last 25 games of the season, he probably averaged, like, 17, 18 points, 7 assists per game.
I guess Eric Gordon is, like, the shoot-first version of that. I don't know. He's, like, in the same, you know, Gunner, Nick Young type.
Did you know
player.
His nickname is The Hobbit?
Who's that?
Eric Gordon.
No, man, he can't do anything thing. Right. So, what...
He's going to get drafted, right?
He's
a guy that I get the feeling fantasy owners are done with.
Mm.
I had him last year, and not once did I contemplated dropping him at points last year. I never did, but I don't know that I ever actually started him in a weekly league.
No. Yeah.
So I think he just was a permanent bench player for me.
You're just like, he's Eric Gordon. I can't drop him.
Yeah, like maybe if he just turns it around, and he does these things where he has like the occasional weeks where he is productive, and he'll go through a game where he has 25 and 5 assists or something like that, and then that'll be followed up with like a 9-point game. So it's like you don't know what to expect from it at all. So is there a round that you will draft Eric Gordon in? Chris, you're shaking your head no.
Very. Tyreek Evans is clearly a better player in that role on their team. Jrue Holiday is going to have a bigger role.
All right.
I don't see any room for him to be a contributor in any serious way.
Joe and I both have some. Would you rather have this guy or Eric Gordon? I'll go first. Would you rather have Deion Waiters or Eric Gordon?
Deion Waiters.
Waiters, yeah.
Jody Meeks or Eric Gordon?
Meeks.
No. In a vacuum, Meeks, he doesn't get hurt as much, but Detroit, there's four guys on Detroit that are going to take shots. I don't know where Jody Meeks is going to get shots from.
He'll be the number one guy taking shots.
Yeah.
They had 29. These guys are all within about a point and a half per game of Eric Gordon last year, by the way. Gerald Green.
He's on my list. That's tough, though, because they added Isaiah Thomas, so that's another guard taking shots there. I mean, he can play the three, but they just have tons of players.
And Gerald Green played all 82 games, so that's don't know if that's going to happen again. And he only had 21.7 points per game.
Yeah, but we know Eric Gordon's probably going to play 55 games.
True that. Ramon Sessions.
He doesn't have a team yet,
these
right?
Sexy.
Assuming
names.
He doesn't. Assuming he signs with someone, probably Ramon Sessions.
J.R. Smith.
J.R.
Yeah, hopefully JR's got a renaissance coming. But I just – with talent like Eric Gordon, I'm never going to like – I mean, he's there in the last round. I'm not going to not draft him.
I could begrudgingly take him late, but yeah. I think I'd rather have JR among those guys, Ramon Sessions on it if he gets
my last one, Gerald Henderson.
Eric Gordon. At least he has upside. I mean, come on.
Well, Jared Henderson's not going to play as much.
Yeah.
You know, he had limited value.
Or not Lance there, sorry. All right. Jed, do you have any other guys you wanted to throw out there?
Nick Young was the other one.
I'll take Swaggy P.
I'll take Eric Gordon.
Yeah, Eric
Just
Gordon.
Just call Swaggy P on my team.
Defeating Nick Young in the head-to-head. All right, cool.
All right. Paul Pierce is our next guy.
Intriguing.
I am so not intrigued by Paul Pierce.
Not intriguing.
He's going to be 37 this year.
So?
That's really old for a basketball player.
Tell that to Dirk and Tim Duncan.
Well, Dirk and Tim Duncan are both 7 feet tall, which helps.
Yeah, that does help.
Be whenever getting your shot off. Paul Pierce, to me, did not... It seemed like a player that is just on a precipitous decline.
Yeah, but he's still Paul Pierce.
He had his worst numbers across the board for his career last season.
Well, I say that because his ADP is 68.
Legally, yes, he's still Paul Pierce. He has yet to change his name.
I'm just saying people are going to take him. And so are
Which
we here to tell
makes
them
me
not
think
to?
That I would.
Okay. No, it's not necessarily. It's not about us, Chris. Okay?
If someone sees Paul Pierce in the ninth round and thinks, oh, I'm going to take Paul Pierce, have him.
So
don't do that, though.
But our listeners, who heed our advice, we would say,
do not take him.
Don't take Paul Pierce at all.
I mean, he's filling the Trevor Ariza role, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's quick enough to play the three much anymore.
You could have just stopped to play the three much anymore.
I don't think he's big enough to play the four.
He played the four in Brooklyn. That was where he kind of, played a little point forward. He played.
Yeah, but that was because they had no offense and they just backed people down and did stupid stuff.
So this is not encouraging for a guy, these numbers. Now, Paul Pierce averaged, in 2012-13, he averaged 18.6 points per game, 6.3 rebounds, and 4.8 assists. Definitely a good fantasy contributor still. That following year, he averaged 13.5 points per game, 4.3 rebounds, and 2.4 assists.
Yeah, I believe those are career lows.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, across the board. And there's nothing to me that suggests that he's going to improve on those numbers at 37
Not
years
even
old.
John Wall doing all the dribbling. Paul Pierce just gets to sit around.
I think he could have a fine roto season. Okay. I think in a category-based format where the fact that he's, just spotting up, it won't hurt you.
Okay.
But it wouldn't surprise me if Martell Webster's more productive than him.
Yeah, that was
once he comes back from the back injury.
That was my either-or, Paul Pierce or Webster.
Pierce only because Webster had back surgery, and that can be a pain in the back.
Neither. Mm. I'm not drafting either guy.
That's not an option.
I don't know if I would draft either one.
No. I'm definitely not drafting Paul Pierce.
All right.
I'll throw out a couple names. Well, actually, if we're not going to draft him, then there's no point in that. Anyway, Kenneth Faried.
Yeah, now we're getting a little happier.
These
now.
Are guys we'll be drafting Kenneth Faried. That right. much we can say. But where will we be drafting Kenneth Faried?
That's
is
a good
question.
He was only 25-ish fantasy points per game through the season, but the last month
really
plus
good after the All-Star break.
Killed it. So from March 1st until the end of the season, he was 20 points, 11 rebounds, 55% from the field. Shooting
really?
14 field goals a game, which, for him, I don't know, they're just dunks or what do you call
it?
No,
he actually defended. He actually developed a little bit more of an offensive game. There were some, he was mostly a one-move guy. It was a, turn towards the middle from the left block and shoot a little righty floater. But
right.
It was more than what he was doing the first 2.5 years of his career.
So, that being said,
where are we thinking about drafting him next year?
He was, 77 ADP, so I feel like that was an overdraft, and this year maybe he can justify it.
So that's in the seventh round, early seventh, late sixth round?
Yeah.
Maybe even later.
Danilo Gallinari is coming back.
12-team league.
Danilo Gallinari is coming back. He can play some small ball four. Wilson Chandler's still there. He can play some small ball four. It's hard to see him. I don't know. What kind of role do you think he's going to have? Because J.J. Hickson's probably not coming back next season.
Yep.
He's probably out. best case scenario, he probably comes back in January, in the absolute best case scenario. And that was really when Fareed took off, was after Hickson tore his ACL.
I can see Fareed getting, like, close to all the rebounds. Because I just don't know.
Somewhere in the ballpark of every rebound.
I mean, who's... who's going to get the rebounds? Like, Mozgov's too slow. He can't do the things that Fareed does.
I'm just confident. I don't know what role he's going to have. I just know that he's going to be on the court a lot, and he's proven that he can be productive when he's on the court. So I think that one of his better qualities is that he can sort of adapt to whatever role any given lineup, not even necessarily any given team. Yeah. So I think that he'll be able to put up some numbers.
And the NBA is getting smaller and faster, so I mean, who knows if they even throw him out at the five, you know, from time to time.
God, which he played the three at points last season, which is nuts.
But I think maybe they're seeing that that's the wrong direction to go. Like, bigger is not better in the NBA anymore, really.
So let's go through some would you rathers with Kenneth Fareed. 24.6 points per game, I think, like Joe said. So Kenneth Fareed or Tobias Harris next year, who we're going to talk about a little bit later.
Fareed.
Yeah.
More clear path to playing time.
Terrence Jones.
Ooh.
22.4 fantasy points per game.
Is it a keeper league?
No, it's not a keeper league. Just for next year.
Because, let me double check, I would take Terrence Jones over Kenneth Fareed in a keeper league. You'll find out in a couple weeks.
I think in the categories, you can make a case for Jones because maybe he steps out to the three-point line. He blocks shots.
You know, Terrence Jones made almost 50 three-pointers last season.
I'm sure. I mean, as soon as Chris Bosh signed with Miami, I'm sure they turned to Terrence Jones and said, get in the gym, start shooting threes because that's all we do here.
Well, that was, you know, that was a pretty sizable part of his offensive game already last season. So I don't think it's necessarily something that he needs to add. He needs to refine it for sure. He made 31 three-pointers, not almost 50. I lied.
Yeah, so.
But
get in the gym.
And shot 30.7% on those three-pointers.
Get in the gym.
54% overall.
So, yeah, he's efficient in sort of that cleanup role, which kind of Fareed would probably be playing basically the same thing. But I think Fareed might be more consistent. There's times last year when Jones would completely disappear. Yeah. So
there were times when Jones was a must-start option last year, and there were times, you know, he had one amazing month where he averaged like 17 points and 8 rebounds per game.
Those were the days, man.
He was a little bit much less consistent and much less productive from that point on, but he also only played 27 minutes per game. I think that's going to go up this season. Having said all that, I'd probably still go with Fareed. He just has a longer track record. I think Jones has more upside.
Mm. Okay. A guy that did actually have...
Okay.
A guy that
both of those responses don't leave me feeling particularly good.
Well, I don't know.
Joe making little noises.
I just don't... Nothing about Terrence Jones excites me. I'm sorry.
You just hate Kentucky.
I don't hate Kentucky. I love John Wall and Boogie Cousins.
Just a hater.
Jared Sullinger, he did actually have 53s.
Yeah,
56,
he did.
I think.
He shot, 28% from three?
26.9, thank you very much. Jared Sullinger or Kenneth Fareed? Kenneth Fareed, maybe? No? Jared Sullinger? Maybe?
I think, well, categories, maybe Fareed's efficiency help you more. Because I'm looking at another, you know, Sullinger being the most inefficient center, starting center.
I mean, Sullinger's probably going to get less shots this season.
Yeah, Evan Turner's there now. I mean,
they just have more people. You know, they're none of them are good. They added Evan Turner and Tyler Zeller.
But they don't have anybody that can really shoot the ball, though.
And Sullinger's like their
Sullinger.
Best. Well, I mean, you know.
Sullinger.
He will shoot it.
There are going to be lineups where Jared Sullinger's the best shooter on the floor.
Yeah.
It's totally possible that Rajon Rondo, Marcus Smart, Evan Turner, Jared Sullinger, and Tyler Zeller will play together at some point next season.
So who you got? Sullinger
Prepare
or Fareed?
Yourselves.
Sullinger or Fareed?
Give me Fareed.
Yeah, Fareed, I mean, you like watching him better, too.
What about Tristan Thompson?
I don't know what to make. I almost put him on this list.
Basically the same guy.
Yeah.
Tristan Thompson's so consistent. Every time. He was not pretty.
Consistent is
10
one.
And 10.
Yeah,
consistent 10 and 10.
10 and 10 every single time.
Yeah.
I mean, there's something to be said for that. Whenever you know that every single game, Tristan Thompson's going to get 10 points and 10 rebounds.
Yes, you know for a fact he's not going to score 30 fantasy points.
But if you've ever watched,
also not going to score 3 fantasy points.
If you ever watch LeBron rebound, he like demands 6 rebounds. Like he'll take the rebound from you.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
so
like you could take a rebound from Tristan Thompson even if you're LeBron. Come on.
That's gonna happen.
I mean, there's a hierarchy. There's a pecking order here,
right?
No, of course. But Tristan Thompson or Kenneth
Fareed?
Yeah, I'll take Fareed.
What about Jeff Green?
Fareed.
Ooh, that one's tougher.
Yeah,
Jeff Green.
Jeff Green's
a savvy scorer.
And Jeff Green is another guy who
Chris hates Jeff Green. Physically capable of shooting
the ball.
Jeff Green didn't get much fantasy scoring last season.
No, he didn't. He doesn't do anything but score.
Yeah, he had like 4.5 rebounds. Did he even get 2 assists last season?
I would love to see how many times he got 0 assists. Cause
he did not get. He got 1.68 assists.
He didn't miss a single game.
No,
he missed
didn't.
One. Yeah, played 82 games for the second season in a row. But he, yeah, I would give Fareed. I think he has more upside. I don't think there's anywhere for Jeff Green to go. We know it's Jeff Green's like his 8th season in the league. We pretty much know what he is.
I will point out that Kenneth Fareed was in this weird quagmire of players that were in between. There was a group of four power forwards that were in between 2,100 and 1,850 fantasy points per game, and he was kind of stuck in the middle. So he's kind of a perfect person to put in here because he is in kind of like a tier by himself. It was him, Chris Bosh, Pau Gasol, and Jeff Green. We're all within like about 8 total fantasy points of each other.
And he really picked up ground towards the end of the year because, I mean, I don't even think he probably wasn't even close.
Oh, he was considered one of the bigger busts in the league, I think, before the, you know.
Yeah, I'm
after,
sure.
Before
I
the
think
trade deadline, probably.
I kept writing every week in the waiver, like, you got to think about dropping him. Like,
yeah. And then up
and
from,
then I was like, pick him up.
And then up from them was David West, and then below them was Markieff Morris. So you see there's
absolutely a tier. And then that's, you know, that's Chris Bosh. Probably won't even be forward eligible next season, and he's not going to be in that tier.
Right.
And Pau Gasol, he might be below that tier now.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun.
Kenneth Fareed moving up in the world.
Speaking of Pau Gasol's new teammate.
Yeah.
Jimmy Butler. Drafted 105.89 last year.
He's one of those guys that there is a gigantic gulf between his value and a standard scoring and a roto scoring. It's huge. He does nothing in standard scoring. He's a borderline starter.
Right.
But categories.
It's true. Especially if you get points, if you're one of your categories with minutes played, then, oh man, Jimmy Butler.
Oh yeah, racking them up.
Yeah, so what do we think about Jimmy Butler for next year?
The question with Jimmy Butler, and this is going to be the question until he answers it, is can he shoot? His breakout season 2 years ago, he shot, you know, 38% from three-point range, something like that. Last season, I think he was at 32. If that, I mean, it was bad. If you talk to Bulls fans, a lot of them will say it was the turf toe injury that he suffered in late November. He was shooting like 37% before that, and then after it just plummeted from that point. But we have 3 seasons on this guy now. 2 of them say he can't shoot threes. 1 of them says he can.
Yeah, he's very comparable to Shumpert in that way. Because, like, out of nowhere, you'll be like, oh, Shumpert, I mean, maybe he's learning to shoot. And then you're like, whoa, no way. He cannot shoot.
So over the last 2 years, 2012-13, Jimmy Butler had shot 38% from 3, but it was only on 105 attempts.
Yep.
This past year, he shot 28.3% on 240 attempts.
But it might be a necessity because now the Bulls will have shooters. Before, it was kind of like, all right, if you're open, you got to shoot because we don't really have – I mean,
but that's not good for his fantasy value, though.
No.
Well
– as if other people are going to be taking some of those 243s that he took.
The one positive is it doesn't matter how many you miss in a category-based format for three-pointers.
It's true. Most of them are three-pointers made.
Right.
It will affect his field goals, but – the other thing is Chris always talks about how easily he gets to the free throw line.
Gets to the free throw line a ton. One of the best in the league from that position.
5.83 of his 18 points per game was from the free throw line.
Draws a free throw line 49% of the time he attempts a field goal.
That's a lot.
That's quite good.
That's a huge number for a shooting guard. That is James Harden-esque.
But will he do that with all these new guys plus Derrick Rose back? Is the question.
I think he will. That's one thing I'm not worried about. That's something that doesn't tend to fluctuate as much, you know. James Harden drew a bunch of free throws in a reserve role in Oklahoma City. He got to Houston, drew a bunch of free throws. That's just, I think that's a repeatable skill. I don't think that's dependent on.
But what
on
about
usage,
well,
so.
But at the rest of his game though? What about the shots and stuff? It doesn't seem to me that the shots are going to be there as much.
Chicago's really crowded. That's mm-hmm. one thing that this team has a lot of guys. They have, you know, the guys that play his position, it's not that many, but it's still, you know, Mike Dunleavy, Tony Snell, those are, they're NBA players. You know, he's probably the only guy who plays shooting guard a bunch, and he's just going to play. That's, I think, the biggest thing in his favor is he's always going to play 40 minutes a game. He missed 15 games with injuries last season, was chronically injured throughout the year, and still led, tied with Carmelo Anthony for minutes played per game lead.
That's absurd. Jed, do you have any guys that you...
You know what? I don't. I just have, like, well, who are you going to... I mean, Shumpert?
Look, he's that was my great. Comparison. He's really great in a category, basically. I think I would take him 7th round, 6th round in a category, basically. He averaged 13 points, 5 rebounds, 2.5 assists, and 2 steals per game.
Yeah, the steals are
and good. 1 3-pointer. I mean, that's he's filling it up in 7 different categories, and he's probably not a 40% shooter from the field.
No.
So,
let's
yeah.
hope not.
I mean, it's 2 seasons. That's the problem. Everything we have of him, it's 2 bad seasons, one where he barely played, and then a middle season where he was really good, and we just don't know if that's who he is.
I think this is going to be a bit of a make-or-break year for Jimmy Butler.
Absolutely.
He'll be 25 this year. He's not young like he played 4
years at Marquette.
He's
the same age as James Harden right now.
Right. It's the same way Luol Deng is like the oldest 29-year-old ever. Jimmy Butler is a good 35 and basketball years.
And that's the thing, the Bulls have had trouble keeping people healthy the last few years. So
speaking of keeping healthy, Tobias Harris,
man, your segues are
nailed it
fire. Except for Levine Levine, just missed that one,
sorry, my snapsies weren't snapsing. Tobias Harris drafted 92nd overall last year.
That seems low, doesn't it? I felt like he was like the
sexy pick. He was hurt.
Yeah, he was hurt coming
year.
Into the year.
That's
yeah.
right.
But otherwise, people would have been leaping.
Yeah, because at the end of 2 years ago, he was
dominant. Right when he got traded, he was like, I'm the best 19-year-old on the planet.
He averaged like 18-10 for the last like 20 games of the season.
It was awesome. But he did not exactly repeat that last year because he had not a healthy year. He had missed a bunch of time. Averaged 24.0 fantasy points per game. Mm-hmm. So where are we thinking of drafting Tobias Harris next year, if we're thinking of drafting Tobias Harris next year?
What's crazy is that's still kind of good considering how redundant he was on that Orlando team.
But that's the thing. He's only more redundant.
Right. Now. They got Aaron Gordon. He's basically same size, same position, bigger, you know, bigger three,
think,
smaller
yeah.
four.
They really
are. A lot of those.
They're like exactly the same position.
Dime a dozen in the league right now, but... You think he's young, so maybe he gets traded? I don't know, again?
It's certainly – that's my one. That would be the one saving grace for me. You know, his fantasy value last season was, what, late 7th round? I don't think I would touch him there.
No.
What about 10th round? Is that too early?
Yeah, because you're starting to fill out your bench there.
And he's still forward. Forwards are hard to find.
Yeah, I think, you know, 110th, 120th overall, I think it's fine to start taking him there. It's just there's not a lot of playing time. There's a lot of guys that play. There's just so many guys in that team that play the same position as him. They got Channing Frye now. Forgot about that.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Channing Frye is probably a better version of what they envision Tobias Harris being, which is a stretch four. Channing Frye's never going to put the ball on the floor. That's a strength in Tobias Harris's game, but...
Tobias Harris can be a better rebounder than Channing Frye.
Probably.
Yeah.
But
I guess not by them. Neither of them are great rebounders.
And they have a really good rebounding five.
Yeah.
So that's less of a concern than it might otherwise be.
Yeah, I'd take him. I'd still take him, though, just in case he gets traded. Just because he's so young, I think they value him a little more than the other, you know, Nicholson and kind of the repetitive people in that same position.
Let's move on to our last guy of what the heck do we make of these guys.
This was my favorite to put on the list.
Introduce
Andrea Bargnani.
Andrea Bargnani.
He is a basketball player in the National Basketball Association.
And he was useful last year for
the first half of the season.
20 games, maybe.
The first few games of the season.
Yeah.
It was...
Tyson Chandler was hurt.
We talked about Andrea Bargnani way more than I thought we were going to on the podcast at the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did talk about Andrea Bargnani.
That was
in the Adam Azer era of the podcast.
Oh, that's so long ago.
So many moons.
Well, he's still on Adam Azer's team.
We're completely different people.
But yeah, it's going to be an intense training camp battle between him and Samuel Dalembert. I think whoever shows up.
Don't write off Cole Aldrich.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
man, that's
true. He's a scrapper. Kansas.
Very nice.
Boom.
He was a sleeper pick in our Vegas Summer League. I was thinking of drafting Cole Aldrich.
He hustles.
Like a fifth-year player in the Summer League?
Phil Jackson says people are overlooking Bargnani. And when Phil Jackson says something, you know, I take notice. So I thought I'd bring him to the forefront.
How do you overlook him? He's so tall.
Yeah, he's large.
So will you actually draft Andrea Bargnani next year?
No.
Why not? Okay.
Let's hear me out. Let's make his peace.
In 22 games of 30 plus minutes, 15.7 points per game, 7 rebounds, 1.5 blocks. He was actually pretty good.
The problem is that I don't know if any of those games came consecutively. Because he would play these 30-minute games, and then he would go ahead, all of a sudden he would go like 8 minutes.
But it's going to be a lot easier
this year.
I think
everything you said is technically true.
Well, it is technically true.
It is factually,
these are the Bargnani facts.
It is factually accurate. It's like a cool fact. It's like one of those like Uber fact Twitter accounts.
Oh, mm-hmm. Don't even get me started on this. I get really angry.
Uber fact.
About this.
If you play Bargnani more than 30 minutes, so you're not drafting him at all, Chris.
I'll let someone else do that because then like there's a chance that I'll be.
Yeah, you're the guy that drafted.
Well, no, I'll just be sitting at home and be like, ugh. I just watch a Knicks game, I guess. I don't want that. I wouldn't put that evil on anyone.
Just no Knicks? Is that your rule?
Yeah, I'm not going to watch the Knicks next season, no.
Whatever Cle Anthony Early and Shane Larkin are tearing it up, dude, you're going to be sad.
I could be persuaded to take Bargnani late in a roto draft.
Let's get to some
Jose Calderon.
Because it made three-pointers.
He does make three-pointers.
At like a 25% clip, but you don't get penalized for that. We already went through that.
I can see a world in which he is a valuable fantasy option. I just don't want...
You don't
want
to be a part of that
I
world.
Just don't... Yeah.
Part of your...
Yeah, I don't want to accept that reality.
Let's get to some questions from our wonderful, fantastic listeners. This one comes to us from Cece in Richmond, California. Not Virginia. Believe it or not, I am in an early dynasty franchise-style 14-team head-to-head points league with 15 players, and he's starting 10. For the rookie draft segment, he took Andrew Wiggins, Mitch McGarry, Kyle Anderson. I want to know your thoughts on the last two in dynasty settings. So, your thoughts on Mitch McGarry, drafted by the Oklahoma City Thunder, and Kyle Anderson, drafted by the San Antonio Spurs.
In a dynasty setting where it's not just 1 year, I think... Kyle Anderson could have some value down the road. But right now, I think next season, Mitch McGarry and Kyle Anderson are going to do next to nothing.
Yeah. 14 teams, so it's deeper than normal. But
yeah, the Spurs have a D-League affiliate. They'll toss Anderson there. I don't think he's going
to
play
much. I feel like the Thunder have been waiting for somebody to do something at center. So maybe Mitch McGarry can do it. I mean, he's versatile.
But they already have a guy that was in their system for a year doing that. They have Steven Adams. I think McGarry, if anything, is going to take on a
Nick Collison role.
Yeah, but that's Nick Collison's still under contract for next season, so I don't think that's going to happen this year.
Nick Collison certainly is occupying the Nick Collison role right now.
Mm, he's really
he's the most Nick Collison player in the league.
So, but I think
you could have done worse.
I think, yeah, you could have done worse. I just worry drafting in a dynasty league. I don't know about Spurs guys. That's a serious consideration, I think, because a guy like Kyle Anderson could be a really good basketball player. Right. We might not know for 7 years.
Counterpoint, he was probably the 38th pick in the rookie draft. 14 teams, he was his third pick. You know, McGarry was probably 25th.
True.
You know, you figure Wiggins wasn't the first pick, probably third or fourth. So you're probably looking at a pretty late pick for those guys. So it's hard to envision anybody being a better pick than those two guys where they were taken. You know, if you got Anderson after McGarry, that's probably a really good value because I think Anderson has more long-term fantasy value than Mitch McGarry.
So there you go.
I like both of them because they're big men who can get assists, and those are if you can identify that early, maybe they pay off down the road.
I can't wait to see what we're going to have Kyle Anderson's position be on whatever he
point center.
Yeah, it's going to be. Let's just give him all five.
Just give him small forward and just don't think about it.
Okay, is a combination of Payton, Korver, and Randall. Elfrid Payton, I assume, yeah. He's talking about
probably
here.
Probably not Gary Payton.
No, probably not Gary Payton. The Kyle Korver and Julius Randall, enough for Goran Dragic. I'm guessing this isn't a trade.
Yeah, I think he's being offered.
Like if you're giving up Dragic and you're getting those three, I think it's enough.
Well, any combo of. I think so. I think two of the three.
What about a three-person combo? I mean, if you get Payton and Randall, because Korver makes it sound like it's categories.
Depends on where your team is.
If your team is looking to be bad.
If you're in a dynasty league and you're not, if you don't think you're going to compete next season.
That's what I would think that this would be a dynasty league because it doesn't seem like. So I think
if you've got a chance to compete this season, I don't think you can give up Dragic. Yeah. But otherwise, Payton and Randall, that's a pretty good package in a dynasty form.
Yeah, it's certainly not like an insulting trade that you should reject immediately.
But I wouldn't do it for anything other than Payton and Randall.
Yeah, I don't think there's no value in Korver. At the 34-year-old Kyle Korver, I don't think there's.
But if you keep Dragic, beware of the downtrend because I think it's coming. I don't think he's going to do what he did last year.
No, but he's also 27 and about to be a free agent. So he's going to either stay in Phoenix and they're going to offload Bledsoe, or he's going to go somewhere and get an awesome role. You know, that I think those are the two options, I think. So it's probably better than it seems.
Either way, he will be playing with his brother Zoran in the 2014 Basketball World Cup. Goran and Zoran Dragic. Oof. I can't make this things up, folks.
Tough combo.
No, they're some sort of Ian. Bosnian or Serbian or something like that.
They're Ians.
Thank you for listening, everybody. You can follow Chris.
C-Tower CBS.
And Joe.
JoePo89.
I am Adam_Flango. And again, thank you for listening.
Thank you so much.